2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou should stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the wonder and the marvel of your grace towards us. We thank you, Father God, that indeed you are ever at work, that you are in charge. And Father, that we can rest in you no matter what problems, no matter what things we might face, you're with us. And we thank you for that. Father, we do think of those, Father, today who are traveling. We think of those, Father, who are not able to be here because of physical affliction. We pray, Father, you might touch their body. Father, we ask you to be with those in a very special way that are right next to death's door. We would pray, Father, you'd be with them and their families and strengthen them. Lord, as we look at this scripture this morning, open our hearts unto your truth that we might gain strength, encouragement, and we might have a challenge set before us to serve you with all our hearts and all our minds. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The U.S. unemployment rate jumps to a 25-year high, we're told. 8.1. 651,000 people lost their jobs in February. That's a good number. That's kind of scary, isn't it? 3 million plus in the last 3 months. Billions of taxpayer dollars have been given to GM and Chrysler. And still the headline yesterday I read was it's a 70% chance that GM will be forced into bankruptcy. The stock market has dropped some 30%. Your 401, I'm sure, has been affected by that. And you're thinking, how will this affect me in the long run, in my retirement, etc.? Well, just 1 year ago, our attention was sharply focused on Iraq. It was sharply focused on that war. It was sharply focused on terrorism. But today, everyone's mind is concentrating on the economy, the stock market, banks, bailouts. Oh, what a difference just a few months can make, doesn't it? Well, the dominant feeling, I think, of America today is one of fear and uncertainty. We're afraid that we're going to lose our jobs. All kinds of companies are folding up all around us. Matter of fact, we saw that right initially when President Obama was elected, there were many companies who just began to close their doors right then. Didn't have anything to do with anything. They just started closing their doors. And so we've seen this domino effect in business throughout America. I saw the other day GM stock was $9.93. It's the lowest point since 1954. Well, who could have thought it, huh? Well, fear certainly is a reality. It is something that's present. And you know, fear can paralyze us. Fear can bring about stress in our life. And because stress has a close companion, and that is worry, we are fearful, we are stressed out, and we are worried. Well, we fear total financial collapse. We're told on the news many times by many quote-unquote experts that these things that are happening around us are not good. We fear aging. We fear dying. We could go on with that list, couldn't we? Just right on down the way. You know, it's a very interesting thing. This is not something that's unusual, actually. It's something that happens all the time. We must learn to live with fear. It's just that there are times when these fears become so dramatic and the crisis becomes so great that it's just constantly on our mind. You know, Genesis is the book of beginnings. That's what the word means. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 holds two firsts in the Bible. It says this, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. This is the first time in the scripture that we find that phrase, which is used very commonly thereafter, the word of the Lord came. It also contains another first. When God told Abram, he said, "Fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward." This is the first time we read that word, fear not. Fear not. Be not afraid. That's used over 180 times in the Bible. What do you think that is? Because we're constantly having to deal with fear. And God is constantly trying to reassure us and trying to give us a word that is a practical word that we need daily. Fear not. Don't be afraid. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10, it says this. Adam said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid." So right there in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, Adam says he's afraid because he was naked and he hid himself. Fear. It's something we have to deal with. It's something that comes to us day by day. Sometimes large, sometimes small. There's always some sort of tension, isn't there? There's always some sort of stress. There's hardly ever a day when something doesn't present itself that would cause you to think and perhaps worry about what's going on there. Something we deal with all the time. Jesus said over in Luke chapter 21, verse 26, he says, "In the last days, men's hearts shall fail them for what? Fear." Over in Luke chapter 1, Luke records for us that the angel Gabriel found it necessary when he was speaking to Mary to say unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Now, you see, Mary was just a very normal person, just like us, a very ordinary person. And she was looking forward to getting married to Joseph. And she wanted just the ordinary things that most people want. She wanted a house. She wanted a home. She wanted some food. She wanted shelter. She wanted children. She wanted to live in peace. But she knew that she faced real problems. There was always the problem of hunger. There was always the problem of sickness. There's always the problem of poverty. There's always the problem of violence. Just the other day, somebody shot all kinds of folks, and they don't know why. These things are constant. They're with us all the time. And, of course, then she got another problem. She's got angels coming to her, talking to her. Yeah. You don't think that's a problem? That's because you haven't had an angel come to you. It would scare you to death. She was scared. So the angel said, "No, listen, don't be afraid. I know of all these other things, but what I'm telling you is good news." Well, we live in an uncertain world. Most of us just want the small things in life. We don't want to be multimillionaires. We don't want to be tycoons. We don't want to be moguls in business. We just want a roof over our heads. We want to be kept out of the rain when it's raining. We want to have a dry place to get out of the rain. We want a warm place in the wintertime. We want a cool place in the summertime. We want to have something to eat. We want to go to the refrigerator, you know, pick out the dill pickles and, you know, eat that. Or go to the closet, you know, pick out that Twinkie or that zebra cake. Have you ever ate a cosmic brownie? See, I've got grandchildren. A cosmic brownie. It's about that big. It's in a little pack. It's the worst brownie that ever was made in all the world. They're terrible. Yeah, they're terrible. But Andrew likes them. We want to go to the closet, get something out to eat. We want to have our children around us. We want just a little happiness. We want to be able to go to vacation. You know, we want to go to Florida at the end of the month. You know, walk around in our shorts and kick the sand. You know, and scare the seagulls. That's what we want. We just want these simple things in life. We're not really looking to, you know, be world changers and you know, to shake the foundations of the financial world. We just want the normal things in life, or at least what we call normal. Well, we were thinking about this, you know, couldn't in just the midst of all this mess, couldn't God just kind of send us an angel and tell us it'll be all right? Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Fear not. Well, you know, actually, he's done something better than that. The Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, agent of all creation, Colossians says, for he is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in the heaven, that are in the earth. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things were made. So, that's a pretty important place, isn't it? He's very God of very God. He's the Savior of the world. He's Lord of lords, King of kings. This Jesus has wrote us a little book. Not just a letter. Didn't just send an angel. He wrote us a book called the Bible. Over in John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, I give unto you." But he says what? "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's one of those 180 times. We need it so much. Well, we're living in difficult times, uncertain times. Certainly there are fears all around us. Have you guys decided, kind of like me, I've decided to turn off some of the news. It's just so bad, I don't need to hear it anymore. How about, you know, when you get to something good, call me. You know, I got the other part. Okay, going downhill fast. I got that. When something else happens, you call me. I got the other. All right. Well, first of all, in these kind of situations, we need to remember that Jesus is on our side. That's where we need to begin. We really do. It's the basic. Over in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness." Let me translate that for you. He's talking about material things. He's saying, don't worry about money. Don't worry about these material things, because in actuality, these things never satisfy to begin with. So don't be overly concerned about them. But he says, "Be content with what you have. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So what is the writer of Hebrews saying? Now listen, money and all that kind of stuff, material things, they don't give you the kind of peace you're desiring anyway. But remember this, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's the jewel. That's what you need to hold on to. "So that you may be bold, say without doubt or fear, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear." Hey, that's pretty good. Don't worry about all these material things. Lord knows you have need of those. He'll give them to you as you need them. But he's saying, now listen, here's what you need to hold on to. "I am with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I am going to be your helper and ever help, present help in times of need. And you won't have to live in fear." Paul says over in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, "Be glad for all that God is planning for you. Be patient in trouble and prayerful always." Pray without ceasing. Alright, so we need to recognize first and foremost that where we stand is on solid ground, the rock that is called Jesus. No matter who you are, no matter where you find yourself, that is where you begin. Secondly, when we remember God is on our side, He's in charge, and we remember that He's got a good plan for our lives, then the next step is to face our fears. You know, during the Great Depression, which happened in the 1930s, Franklin Delano Roosevelt said this, and you've heard this. He says, "So first of all," well, he missed the first one. The first one was stand on Jesus. But, "So first of all," he says, "let me assert my firm belief that the only thing to fear is what? Fear itself." You've all heard that. Well, we've got to face our fears. And I'm hardly the one. I have all kinds of fears. You know that. Don't get me up there in the middle of the ceiling, Tom, you know, with that thing. Brother Bill, you know, get on the inside, climb up the inside. Okay. All right. But listen. We got to have Jesus as the basis, and then we got to face our fears. That's the only thing you can do. You cannot run from them. I don't know when it was, several years ago. I was in bed. So I'm in bed. I'm sleeping. My wife says nothing can wake me. The house could be blown away. Could be a tornado. Atom bomb attack. Who knows? I'm just sleeping. And I hear something. So I woke up. I thought, what is that? We have dogs, and so I thought, probably the crazy dogs. You know. So I was listening to hear if they were barking or something. You know. Normally, if the dogs bark and things like that, then, you know, I go and put them in the house or something, and then that's the way that the thieves can steal out of my cars very easily. So I'm listening for the dogs. You know, maybe they're barking at somebody. Maybe they're trying to say something to me. You know, somebody's out front breaking in your car again for the third time. I couldn't hear any dogs barking. So I'm about half asleep anyway. So I started going back to sleep, and I heard something again. What is that? Oh, man. You know, what could that be? Huh. So you have to take off your breathing mask, right? You guys don't have CPAPs? What's wrong with you? It helps you to sleep. So took that thing. You can't hear because it's going, you know. My wife says it's like Darth Vader, you know. Yeah. So take that thing off. Turn it off. I'm listening now. I'm starting to get awake. I'm listening now. And I heard something again. So I got up out of bed. I started walking my way over to the door that goes into the hallway. I come around the corner of the door. This is the hallway. I look down the hallway. Something moved down the end. Big, ugly something. Whew, my heart started going. You know, wow, what is this? You know, so I'm here down the hallway. Should I wake my wife up? Should I send her down the hallway? So my heart's just going. So I breathe a couple good, get some good air in me. I'm thinking, what should I do? I'm taking Taekwondo. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I jumped out the hallway. Hi-yah! Whatever it was down at the end of the hallway went, hi-yah! I went back. Woo! What is that? Well, it didn't go hi-yah. It just kind of moved. So now I'm really scared, but, you know, something is in the house. Whew, I got to do something. So I thought, well, steel yourself. They can't do any more than just kill you. Flick that light on. We have mirrors at the end of the hall. That terrible, ugly thing was me. Jumping around. Yeah. Well, you know, I think that that's actually sometimes how we are. We hear something. It frightens us. We don't know what it is exactly. We're not sure. We make more of it than it is. It was just me. Now, I don't know what made the noise. You know, maybe a raccoon running on top of the house or something. I don't know. But really, it was nothing. When I was back here behind the door, my heart was racing, and I was trying to, you know, build up enough gumption to do something. I was imagining all kinds of things down the hallway, which really wasn't anything. But, you know, until I got over there and turned on the light, I didn't know it. You've got to face your fears. And in facing our fears, many times we find out that these fears of the fear we had is worse than the real thing itself, than the crisis. We've got to do it. We need to ground ourselves, root ourselves in the God who cannot lie and who said he'll never leave us or forsake us, and don't be afraid, and then face those fears. You know, unexpected crises also should remind us, you know, that this world is really not our homes. You know, crises can give us a new perspective on things. We can gain a new view. You know, the real purpose of life is not to amass wealth. Did you know that? It's not just to collect up money. It's amazing how we strive for money, though. It's amazing how we strive for it. We work. We scheme sometimes. We give up friends and family and all those kind of things so that we can do this thing or that thing to try to get ahead. Sometimes, you know, people even kill to gain advantage or to gain money. And for what? Some material thing. Will we never learn? I read just the other day a newspaper article. A German billionaire, not just a simple old millionaire, but a billionaire. His name was Adolf Merkel. He killed himself by throwing himself under a train. What's wrong with these people? Haven't they ever heard of a gun or a knife or, you know, hanging at the throat? You got to go find a train. You got to get a schedule, you know, it comes at 9 o'clock. Okay, I'll be down there. You know, threw himself under a train of all things. How to kill yourself, you know? Well, the newspaper said this. This is what I found so interesting. It says, this is the writer. He said, it seems absurd and unreasonable to me why rich people want to terminate their own lives. He says, money, the thing that most people fervently chase, thinking it will bring them happiness, the good life, is just the opposite. Now, this is not a Christian newspaper. This is a European newspaper. Millionaires, he said, are like frogs in a boiling pot, vehemently seeking a way to leap out of the pot, only to fail to reach safe, dry land. Money can't bring security, peace, or happiness. This is what he says. I'm quoting him. It brings sorrow, grief, binding them and us to gloomy quagmire, if that's all we have. And I thought, man, this guy, he had some insights. The purpose of life is not to amass wealth. It's to glorify God. Did you know that? You were made, the creator of all the world, all that there is, made you. And he gave you a particular assignment and task to glorify him as he has made you. To glorify God. To take the good news of the gospel to everybody. To love each other. As the Lord loves us. To enjoy the gifts of God that he's given to us. And there are many. Let me just ask you this one thing. Do you believe God? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks to us about money. Mammon. He talks about food. He talks about drink. He talks about clothing. All these things. Verse 33, he concludes that section by saying this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness. Now listen. And all these things shall be added unto you. You see, God owns all that stuff. He knows what you need. He's not a miser. He's not trying to make life difficult for you. He wants to give you. Matter of fact, he promises to give you the abundant life. That doesn't mean that he's going to guarantee you to have a Mercedes, does it? That you can trade in every other year. Hey, I heard on the radio the other day, just as I was heading over to the hospital, you can get $18,000 off on a new Mercedes. Don't leave. It's Sundays, they're closed. It doesn't do anything. They rust too. They break down too. They don't do what they're claiming to do either. Jesus said, listen, seek God and him first. And all these things will be added unto you. Fear not. Don't be afraid. God's in charge. He has a plan for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He wants the best for you. He knows what's coming tomorrow. Nobody knows what's coming tomorrow. If these folks knew what was coming tomorrow, all these guys that are screaming and carrying on and pretending like they're experts coming into these TV shows, they'd all be multiple billionaires because they'd have sold their stock a long time ago. They're groaning just like you. Because they don't know nothing either. But God does. He knows what you need. And he wants to provide that for you. Now listen, you can either live in fear. Or you can face it. You can grab a hold of it. And you can let God do his great work that he wants to do in you and through you, that he might glorify himself in you and show the world who he really is. Heavenly Father, we live in uncertain times, most assuredly, but you are God who knows. Father, we know and recognize that we are weak and frail. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Father, we get afraid of things. This brings stress in our lives. The stress brings the worry, and it's just a spiraling downward into depression. And you say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. 180 times, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am the Lord. Father, we thank you for your promises and who you are. Help us to steel ourselves that we would be courageous for you, bold, that indeed we might be good and faithful servants. Lord, even this morning, even in this service, if there are decisions that need to be made, first time profession of faith, coming to join this church, whatever it might be, Heavenly Father, you work and we'll give you the glory. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.